Okay, hopefully we're all fresh from that break. Historically, we've focused a lot more on our leather shoes, wheels, cars, and other industrial processes as sources of chromium contamination, and have ignored any contribution from natural sources. So until recently, we didn't think there was an oxidative pathway that could turn rocks into a significant source of contamination to groundwater. And so I hope to convince you that we can't afford to keep ignoring these natural sources of chromium, and that's largely due to microbes. So we've been focused on anthropogenic sources for good reason. Chromium is the third most common pollutant found at hazardous waste sites. It's used to make steel and other alloys. Here we see a tank of chrome 6 acid that's used for electroplating. Chrome 6 is also used in tanneries. But natural chromium is also very common. It's the 10th most abundant element in Earth's mantle. So this is a North Polar projection showing serpentinites and ophiolites. And so we find chromium natively in these minerals. And so if we have to start worrying about these minerals that cover around 1% of Earth's land surface, we really see that this problem scales up. So not only are these chromium-bearing minerals globally distributed, but weathering and diagenetic processes enrich chromium in soils. So this data set from Berger and Fry shows, we see this big peak of chromium, that's our source rock, and then as we near the surface, we see an enrichment in chromium which coincides with peaks of iron and manganese. And so in order to understand why we care about this peak of chromium, or this enrichment of chromium that's coinciding with manganese oxide, we'll just do a quick review of chromium speciation. So chromium is present in two common oxidation states. We see chromium 3, which is an essential element. It's actually good for us at low concentrations, but it's extremely poorly soluble, whereas the toxic form forms this anionic species, which is very mobile in the environment. And so if we're going to start caring about these natural sources of chromium, it's really important to understand how chromium is oxidized. So under most environmental conditions, manganese oxides are the only compound that are capable of oxidizing chromium. And so as long as we're below a pH of about 9 or so, oxygen is not capable of oxidizing chromium, which is a little different than a lot of other redox metals that we think about. So we've established that we have enriched chromium that coincides with these peaks in manganese and iron. And there's been a lot of studies that have looked at the capacity of manganese oxides to oxidize chromium. But these have primarily been conducted in batch systems. And so none have taken into account the complex soil architecture, even though we know that it's very important in understanding chemical cycling of elements. So if we zoom in to soil, we see that they're a very structured system. Here we see that characteristic dual porosity where we have these diffusion-limited zones and advective transport channels. And so in order to understand how diffusion-limited transport can affect the large-scale chromium cycling, we look at three main questions. So the first question looks at how the solubility of these chromium-bearing minerals affects the production of chrome 6. You can imagine that if you're not generating very much chrome 3 aqueous, it could be difficult for it actually to interact with the manganese oxides. And so we have the low solubility chromium iron hydroxide and then a higher solubility chromium hydroxide in this picture. And so our next question looks at how microbes can affect redox conditions to make chromium more or less available. And so if we look at the diffusion-limited transport zones within sediments and soils, they create these localized geochemical gradients. So we can imagine that we have oxygen and carbon compounds diffusing into our soil aggregate along with, in this case, reduced manganese. And so these different geochemical gradients are really going to affect where our functional microbes set up shop within this soil aggregate. So here we have manganese oxidizers in the interior or the exterior where they're getting their oxygen, and they're precipitating this manganese 2 as manganese oxides. And as it interacts with the chromium, we see the production of chrome 6. But what happens when we turn these conditions around and have iron-reducing conditions? So if we have iron-respiring bacteria dominate, how does that change the distribution of chromium within these aggregates? And so we can imagine in the same system, if we have our reducing bacteria we're generating metabolites such as iron 2, so we're seeing iron 2 reduction, and then that, as it's diffusing outward, can interact with the chrome 6 and reprecipitate these iron chromium hydroxides. So in order to look at chromium cycling within these types of flow domains, we set up a flow-through reactor cell, and we synthesized an aggregate and placed it inside this cell. And to look at the solubility and the effect of solubility, we had two different abiotic treatments. So we took our pure chromium hydroxide and mixed it with a synthetic bernotite, and then took a more poorly soluble iron chromium hydroxide and mixed that with bernotite. And then to investigate the microbial community and the effect that the microbial community has on chrome 6 production, we inoculated the chromium iron coated sand with manganese oxidizers, and then we did a co-inoculum with manganese oxidizers and iron reducers, and then finally did a synthetic manganese oxide bernotite and inoculated it with iron reducers. So we put these aggregates in this flow-through reactor and looked at the effluent. And so these plots are going to be looking at the effluent over time. And so just to orient you on this graph, the dotted line is California, the new California drinking water limit. And we see a big peak in chromium production, chrome 6, coming out of this reactor. And then when we have decreased solubility with our chromium iron hydroxide, we see this production of chrome 6 reduced. So if we switch gears and look at how the microbial community influences our hexavalent chromium production, this is using our manganese oxidized inoculated aggregate, and we see again a big peak initially, which we don't see with either our synthetic bernotite and iron reducers or our co-inoculum. So next we looked at some solid phase data. So this is looking at dissolved oxygen profiles upon harvesting of the aggregates, and for our abiotic reactors, as expected, we don't see any consumption of oxygen, so it's near solubility throughout the entire aggregate. And then as we add our manganese oxidizers, we see a deep oxic zone and a gradual transition to anoxic zone. When we have a co-inoculum, we start seeing a little bit of reduction in the oxic front and a steep transition to our anoxic zone. And then finally, when we just have the iron reducers, we see a very shallow oxic zone. So if we overlay these dissolved oxygen profiles on our aggregates, we see different patterns of redox zonation. And so the gray circles, again, are just the transition zone that we just saw, and then the red is the anoxic zone. And so we can see that these correspond to the radial heterogeneity in manganese oxide and secondary iron mineral phases. And so it looks like the microbial community can affect the region that's favorable for chromium 6 production. So this is now looking at our biogenic manganese oxides. Their morphology is similar to bernotite, although a little smaller primary particle size. But then to look at the spatially resolved elemental distribution within our aggregates, we perform micro X-ray fluorescence mapping. And so this is a tricolor plot. So we see manganese oxides in red on the exterior and iron and chromium in blue and green. So they're a mixture here, so we kind of are in the middle. And so we see that it might be hard to see in the back of the room there, but this yellow line is the transition zone where we stop seeing the red of the manganese oxides. And this correlates well with our transition zone that we saw with our dissolved oxygen profiles. And this is the same the same data with our co-inoculum where we have iron reducers, and we see the same gradient but just a reduced overall concentration of manganese oxides, and it still corresponds with our transition zone. So in conclusion, we see that solubility and manganese oxide or microbial communities can constrain the regions favorable for chromium oxidation, and that overall the microbial community that we have in these different soil structures can really have a dramatic effect on the chromium cycling in that system. So with that, I'd like to take any questions.